Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Our time is now with LSU basketball.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
One way or another, we're going to make history.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
I came here to win. We're going to win immediately.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Case Kieschnick and our hosts, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Two great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Welcome back to Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealers Studios. Jeff Palermo, along with the editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Glenn Gilbo, and joining us now, college baseball analyst, former LSU Tiger and current owner of the Baton Rouge Rougarou and Lake Charles Gumbo Gators joining us here on Tiger Rag Radio. Ronnie, thanks a lot for spending some time with us. We should also mention that you are also heavily involved in with the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, and we're going to get into that here in just a few minutes as far as the induction ceremonies, which will be taking place not this weekend, but the following weekend in Natchitoches. And Ronnie, first of all, wanted to ask you some LSU baseball questions, and I was listening to you on your show, Sports Shorts Radio. It was the night after LSU lost the SEC opener to Vanderbilt, and you said it then, Ronnie, that this team is not going to be winning many games because they couldn't. If we remember, that was a bad loss. Gavin Gidry gave up a home run late. I think it was a walk-off homer, if I remember right. And you said it right there, that this is not shaping up to be a really good team. How did it fall so fast here for Jay Johnson and company?
Well, I hated to be right. And I actually won a little friendly wager with our guy, Casey McKenzie, the GM of the Rougarou. We had an over under 14 wins in the SEC, and I took the under. And
you won that by a landslide.
I think I collected in early on that one. I just think it was a combination, right? Name one pitcher who had a good year from like at the end of the year, had a good year. And I think you're probably going to say Sheeran out of the bullpen. He was probably their best reliever for 80% of the season. Now he struggled at the end because they overextended him. He's a guy who should be a one inning guy, two innings max, and they kept trying to stretch him. And so his numbers got inflated at the end. I think you can say that William Schmidt had a nice year, but I don't think William Schmidt had the year he thought he would have.
No.
I think going into the season, William Schmidt's expectations from a standpoint of ERA and strikeout to walk ratio and all those, the batting average against and all those things, I think he thought he would be better. He had a good solid year. I think for a third starter, William Schmidt, you'd have been really happy with his year, but you tried that. He needed to be a Saturday guy. And then everybody else had a down year. Every single other pitcher had a down year, had a year worse than they ever thought they would have.
Including Cason Evans. He was, before he got hurt, he was not having a good year.
Yeah, I mean, Cason Evans had a couple of extremely great outings, but then he had a bunch of that weren't.
Right.
Cason Evans surely didn't have a Friday ace type of year, you know, in the SEC. And so you had a bunch of guys that had bad years, and then you had a bunch of offensive guys. You know, every single one of your transfer portal guys, you know, had a bad year. Every single one of them, not one good one. So in this day and age where you're paying guys money in the transfer portal to plug and play and for them to come in and be starters and play right away, if you went 0-for-4, basically, you're not going to overcome that.
You're talking to Ronnie Rance here on Tiger Rag Radio, and I think the portal players were disappointing, but really, people forget how bad the pitching was, including returning pitchers. You know, really, the best pitcher on the weekend, I think, was Cooper Moore, the transfer, and he got hurt early in the season in the Oklahoma series. And Oklahoma barely wins the last two games of that series there in Omaha. Now, Ronnie, how did you make that deduction so early? Because you know a lot of what happened right. had not happened yet. How were you able to do that?
Well, because the signs were there from a standpoint of they were walking too many guys, hitting too many guys. The catching was really bad at the beginning of the season. Now, the catching it improved tremendously the second half of the year. And I think as, you know, as Cerna and Aaron Beattie got more and more experience and started swinging the bat better, that helped them defensively. But the first half of the year, they were not very good defensively, which led to a lot of wild pitches. And then, you know, you just had too many walks, too many hit batters. And then defensively, they were not good. If you remember, especially the first half of the year, they were one of the worst defensive teams in the SEC. So that combination of you know, fielding 960, 965, was between 960 and 965 is where they were all year. And then you throw in, you know, walking and hitting batters, and it just – That right there was all you needed to know that this was not headed in the right direction.
And, you know, Ronnie, when that portal class was signed, they were highly ranked. Nobody was thinking, oh, gosh, Jay got a bad portal class. I mean, Zach York, Trent Carraway, Seth Darter, those guys came highly recommended, kind of like the class right now, you know, Beano Waters, Cade Curlin from Florida, Jason Wachs from Tulane, Dawson Park from Texas State. On, you know, the portal's just kind of fool's gold sometimes. What do you think of the new crop coming in?
Well, I think the new crop's more battle-tested, and they're also from probably a little bigger programs as well. You know, last year's team came from a lot of mid-major-type stuff. I mean, Carraway obviously had Oregon State on the chest, but remember, Oregon State's not Big 12 per se, and he didn't have a good year. He had a great postseason, and that's what put him on the map. You know, Grand Canyon and High Point and teams like that. Now we're talking about guys being Florida, a guy with lots of hundreds of at-bats at Florida, a guy who for 2 years was the best player on Tulane's team and had a 70-something game on base streak. I mean, these are proven commodities at big-time programs. So the Texas State shortstop was their best player until he had a little off-the-field altercation fight or something with a teammate is what I'm hearing. But
it was on the field, but it was right after the game with a teammate.
Right.
Yeah. But he had a good career at Texas State 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, he was their guy, right? You know, I mean, that was a big loss for them going into the, you know, the
sure.
second part of the year at the end of the year. But so, you know, I just feel like, they've got guys with more experience from bigger programs that are a little more battle tested. I think you know what you're going to get a little bit more. And keep in mind, you know, they don't have to be the man over here. They can just be one of the guys, right? When they're not asking these guys to necessarily just carry teams on the back. They just do your job, you know, come in here and do your job. And so I definitely think, and look, Jay Johnson's a great coach. I mean, he's going to learn from his mistakes. You know, he's going to make adjustments. You know, he's not going to do the same things over and over, expect different results. So I have no question that Jay will get it figured out. And it seems like he has already done that so far.
Yeah. And the funny thing though, about the portal, Ronnie, is, you know, you mentioned the smaller schools those guys came from, but yet the year before, Daniel Dickinson was from Utah. And, you know, Paul Skeens was from Air Force. I mean, there have been guys from those lower-level schools that do well. What I'm thinking is, unlike in high school recruiting, when you're in that portal, you really got to be sharp at your talent, at your talent acquisition from a coach's perspective, huh?
Yeah, oh, no, there's no question. And look, the other thing, too, is that with the transfer portal and with the NIL, you know, the talent is spread out a little more. You know, you look at Omaha, right? No one back from a year ago. Only North Carolina been there twice in the last 3 years. There's more diversity. There's more parity in college baseball. And because of that, you know, guys are wanting to go where, one, they get paid, and two, they get the opportunity to play. And they're not as worried about what your locker room looks like or how many fans come to your games. That's not the selling point that it was 5-6 years ago where LSU had the advantage. Now the first question is, how much are you going to pay me? And am I starting? Am I going to get the chance to pitch so many innings, or am I going to get a chance to how many at-bats? And those are the guarantees that the players want. And so they would rather go someplace else where they get the money. And so because of that, you've got to do your due diligence. You've got to recruit. You've got to evaluate. You've got to be able to say, okay, what does a player at Utah Valley State, you know, how is that going to translate?